mind and heart concerning this message this evening.
Right.
Tell them to look for
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. We'll find some things this evening that's going to hurt us because of the doubt that produces ground.
Right.
Amen. Let me give them to you quickly. Number one, doubt will deceive you. It certainly will. It'll deceive you now. It'll deceive you into believing a lie. It'll deceive you into rejecting the truth.
Yeah.
It certainly will. Well, doubt is a deadly enemy for a child of God. We need to be on the lookout for it.
Amen.
We need to learn how to deal with it this evening. But in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, the Bible says, let no man deceive himself. Now, that's doubt.
Right.
Let no man deceive himself. See, you deceive yourself. When you fail to believe God for His Word, He said, he that cometh to Him must believe that He is. That means that you don't have any doubt about Him.
Yes.
That He's God and that He means exactly what He says. He means exactly what He says and says exactly what He means.
Right.
Amen.
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 That's what God wants us to believe in.
Amen.
Now, I said doubt will deceive you. Then, number two, doubt will deprive you. It'll deprive you of blessings. It will. It'll deprive you of things that God wants you to have because you've got too much doubt in your heart for God to work in you. And God won't work with a lot of doubt.
Right.
I'm telling you, He won't.
That's
and what He'll do is He'll let you see what you're good at and because you're a guy you don't have.
Right. Amen.
You had that happen to you in life? I can remember one time when a guy told me, he said, once you go up there, I want you to go up there and do me a favor. And he said, I'll give you $20. And I didn't believe him. He said, go up there. And he said, there's no junk bus in back of the hill. And I didn't write the words out. He said, get the serial number in there of that firewall for me. And write it down and bring it to me. And I'll give you $20 bill. And this was back in about 1959. Man, that was a lot. I'd like $100 for that. And I said, yeah, sure. And I walked off. The next day, my cousin came down the hill. And I said, hey, how you doing? He said, you ain't going to believe this. I said, well, he said, you know, so-and-so told me, asked me about you back on the back. He said, you know where that old bus is back there? And I said, yeah, and get the number off the firewall for me. The serial number right there, bring me, give me $20. Now you back there, got it. And he said, you know what? So what? He said, give me $20. That's not my brain, but something. You see, doubt, a doubt kept me from getting the $20
bill. Right, amen.
I'll never forget that. Right. You don't forget things like that.
No, sir.
And I believe God, in the same like manner, when doubt creeps in, and God will let us see what we deprived ourselves of.
Amen.
Because of doubt.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That'll do it.
Many a preacher, I guarantee you, today is sick because they let doubt creep in and they resigned their church, Brother Tom, and went off on some crazy adventure somewhere else, you know, thinking they were going to do something bigger and better. And the final announcement, no, didn't end up doing what they'd already done in that church, and somebody took it, and now it's going very good. It's no
longer. Right.
It'll deprive you.
Yes, sir.
Doubt will deprive you. It will.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 7, verse 2, Jesus said, and with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again.
Right.
But what you do for the Lord, you intend on being paid back 100-fold.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I'll guarantee you, God bless you, but you'll deprive yourself if you allow doubt to creep in.
Amen.
Well, I doubt really if that's going to happen like that. But when it comes to doing the work of the Lord, you better not have any doubt about you. Don't have any doubt.
Right.
Just put your faith in the Lord and go.
Amen. Right.
And just let what happens, happens. Let God take care of it.
Amen.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot about retaliation over the years. I have. Sometimes it's better off when you don't know what Satan's saying. And sometimes retaliation, you better off just stay away from it.
Amen.
Not retaliate, just let the Lord take care of it.
Right.
You're 100 times better off. Just pray about it. Pray for the person and don't say anything.
Right.
Just leave it in the hands of God. See, there it is, Jesus. It's yours.
Right.
It's your ministry. It's your people. You take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it'll be taken care of well if you take
right.
Amen.
Amen.
And you can always do it in the past. You've got to take a stand. Now, a lot of things, okay, you can just put it in the hands of the Lord.
Yeah.
Let God take care of it. So I'm going to tell you right now, if you have doubt, that unless you stick your nose in it, unless you start talking about it, unless you try to take care of it, they won't be taken care of. And God lets you go right ahead, fall flat on your face. I'm telling you, Will. When we put it in the Lord's hand, not doubt that He can take care of His ministry.
Right. Amen.
And you know what? I've said this many times before. Sometimes we're too busy trying to do He's very capable of doing his own work.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Leave it in the hands of the Lord.
Amen.
I said it'll deprive you. It'll deceive you. It'll deprive you. Amen. And here's another one. Doubt also will drag you down. Drag you down. Doubt. Doubting that you're really going to accomplish much at all. And just give up. Oh, that's a big problem in the churches today. Pastors just shut them down. They do. I've been a lot of them leave out.
Mm-hmm.
And one big problem that way is the snow starts flying. They built their congregation before they want time to winter over and they leave. Buddy, I'm telling you right now, you can't just up and leave. I really believe that as long as a man of God feels in his heart that he'd rather where he ought to be, he'll stay there until he dies.
Amen.
Dr. Carl Sider said he don't believe God wants anybody to leave. He said, I'm going to stay in my church. I heard him say that on that sermon you give me, man. Yeah. I'm going to stay right there until I die. He did.
Yep.
I think he was close to 87 years old when he died. He's still pastoring when he died.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to do. Unless God moves me out. God don't ever give me any inclination that he wants me to leave. I'm never going to leave.
Right.
Hey, if you want me to leave, I'm not going to leave.
Right.
Man.
I'm standing right here where God's got me. I've been here 27, I'm going on 28 years now. And if Jesus doesn't come back in another 10 years, I'll still be here. At that point, at 37 years, I'll still be right here, preaching, doing what I can do. What if you just got 75 or 80 people like you got now? I'll still be here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stay right here. Amen?
Right.
I don't doubt what God will bless. I'll tell you right now, Jesus blessed with a 12-member congregation.
Right. Sure it is.
I think God let the Lord bless him with all the numbers.
Right.
He doesn't do that. God doesn't work that
way.
Amen.
I'll assure you he doesn't. Hey, you can go out here right now and pick you out a big old church right now. Of course, right now would be a good time because you wouldn't have any of night there. You want me on Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Because that crowd, most of that crowd don't go back on Sunday night.
Right.
Yeah.
All these big Southern Baptist churches that run 500 on Sunday morning, they don't have 50 people on Sunday night. 75. And on Wednesday night, they won't want to have any, if any of them are still having a midweek service.
Right.
That's
right.
True.
Yes, sir.
But go learn and see what they give you. See what you get from them.
Mm-hmm.
See what you get out of their song service. See what you get out of their preaching.
Amen.
And teaching. And see if you can feel that divine nature of God in the atmosphere. Well, that's what counts with me.
Amen.
Hey, man, what the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Amen. There's true freedom to worship here.
Amen.
I mean, if you're right with God, you can worship right here at New Shepherd Baptist
Church. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll not get drugged down. Amen. If you'll come expecting a blessing, you'll get a blessing. But doubt will drag you down. Well, I don't know where I want to go that the Bible reason or not. I never heard that preacher preach. I doubt if he can do anything to me. I doubt he can bless me.
Yeah.
I have people say, well, I doubt if I get anything out of him. You ain't going to be able to do anything. I always say, well, I won't, but God can.
Amen, brother.
God can.
Sure he can.
When Israel was going through the wilderness, they couldn't set a table on the wilderness.
Right. Amen.
They had to set a table for 3 million Jews. Lord, you can kill rabbits till the cows come home. And you never put enough rabbit meat down to feed over 3 million Jews.
Right. Amen. Amen.
One of them said, can God set a table on the wilderness?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Sure
he can.
Amen.
Amen. God can do it.
Amen.
Amen.
God can do it. I can't do anything. I can't be a blessing.
Right.
God can be a blessing through me if I yield to him and study and preach his word the way he wants me to. He'll be a blessing for me.
Amen. Right. Sure he can.
Amen. It'll all drag you down. It'll build you up.
Right.
But your doubt will drag you down.
Mm-hmm.
Your doubt will drag you down.
Amen.
In Proverbs 29, verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low. Drag him down.
Oh,
your pride. You're too proud. You don't think anybody can do anything for you. You're too highly intelligent for a certain preacher. You've got too much knowledge for him. You've got too much clout about you. You're on a different level than he is. He can't do anything for you. And that pride, I guarantee you that doubt, that creeps in where pride is, will drag you down.
Yeah.
Bring you low. The Lord said,
yes, sir.
Doubt, drag you down. A man's pride shall bring you low. Proverbs 29, verse 23. Here's another one. Doubt, not only will it drag you down, but doubt will deteriorate your spirituality. It will. Doubt will deteriorate your spirituality. But he'll just completely annihilate your spirituality. Doubting, you know, and it's a dangerous thing for a pastor to begin to doubt. Doubting if he's right where he ought to be.
Amen.
Doubting, maybe you think that maybe I ought to move on. Hey, this doubt creeped in. Maybe I shouldn't be here in this church. Somebody else will have. And after a while, if he keeps thinking about that, then between the flesh and the devil, he'll begin to believe it. And doubt will deteriorate all his spirituality. A lay people in the church get in the same fix and begin to doubt. They begin to have doubt about the preaching. They begin to doubt about a certain person in the church. Really, Paul said, if you tend to your own business, like an instant, so be, if you tend to your own business, ye do well.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let God take care of his people.
Amen.
God didn't call any of you to take care of this one or that.
Right.
You take care of your own self, you do well.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You begin to doubt about this one. You begin to doubt about that one. You begin to doubt about the preacher. Begin to doubt about what we stand for. You begin to doubt our standards.
Right.
Buddy, without good godly standards, you're not going to do anything with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I believe that all night long. But
right.
You doubt when you don't apply yourself to them.
Yeah.
You doubt them. You hear me?
Amen.
You know our standards here.
Mm.
When you doubt them, you're doubtless when you don't apply them. You don't believe them. I just doubt the Lord. If that bothers the Lord, the person really saved, well, I doubt what Brother Duncan's saying. That bothers the Lord, what about the Bible teaches?
Amen.
Right. I'm going to tell you something. If there's any doubt in your mind of what I preach and my standards, I want you to bring your Bible and read and show me your Bible where I'm wrong.
Amen.
If you can't show me where I'm wrong, then your doubt's crept in, and doubt has robbed you of your spirituality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to begin with.
Right.
It'll strip you down, though. I'm telling you, it will. It'll get you to where you can be colder than cucumber. Yeah. It can, I'm telling you, it can. I've seen preachers doubt creep into their ministries.
Mm-hmm.
They begin to doubt, they didn't even get to where they're doubting, they begin to doubt for any call to preach.
Right.
That's the blast. That's all that is. Amen. And then they doubt they're in the right place. And doubt they didn't begin to doubt the Word of God, being the Word of God. And so they get them an old New American Standard Version to begin to preach it. Any time a preacher changes from the King James Bible, God's Word, to the English-speaking people, to an old Dr. Taylor paraphrase, or the New American Standard Version, or a Revised Version, and he's got doubt in that book.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
Yep.
If I say I believe Anthony Lawson, I got faith in him, Anthony tells me something now. Well, you know, I'm glad you told me that. And I go, Terry, I said, Terry, you know, Anthony told me what he meant about it. What am I doing? I'm doubting what Anthony said. And maybe you tell me, then I go here and I ask Mike. Now, this is what Anthony and Terry said. What do you think about it?
Mm-hmm.
I've had people do me like that as a preacher. I had a preacher one time, I had to deal with a fella. And I had a preacher one time call me and ask me why I put this fellow on the other. And I told him why I did it. And I said, that's not it. Because he lied. He cheated some of my people out of money. He owes about $5,000 to several people all together in my church. I said, he lied about how many things. And then all the time in my heart I say, I don't know why you're calling me. It's none of your business anyway. So you know what he does? He has some calls. Andy followed that and grew dependent on that simple soul. That burnt me up, buddy. Well, I did what Andy told me. He told me, he said, did my pastor tell you what happened? He said, well, don't call me and ask me. If he told you, that's it.
Right.
Amen.
He lied to you. We talked about him. I said, what you call these men for? I said, you asked me, brother. It really wasn't none of your business. And I told you exactly what happened.
Right.
Amen.
He never really called me back again. Amen. That's what a lot of people do to the Lord.
Right.
They don't believe God.
Right.
So they run somewhere else trying to find the truth.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, so much doubt creeps into their ministry, they ain't worth a plug nickel praise the Lord.
Right.
And any spirituality about them and their preaching and their walk with the Lord as a pastor and a preacher, they've lost it all. And doubt has stripped them, deteriorated the spirituality about them.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Right. But it happens all the time, I'm telling you. I mean, there's a lot of it happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just an awful lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
In Galatians 5, verse 7, this is what's happening here in the church of Galatia. Paul said there to the church of Galatia, he said, ye did run well. You did. You did do good works. You did serve God faithfully. You were a really good soldier of the cross. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? So there it is, that you should not obey the truth, but that you doubt the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'll tell you right now, don't doubt the Word of God.
Right.
If I say something to you as your pastor, you shouldn't doubt me. And when you listen, but when you find yourself doubting this pastor, you need to get you another pastor.
Yeah. Right.
If you're that far gone, I can't do you any good. He'll get you another pastor.
Right.
And believe me.
Right.
If you can't sit and believe my preaching coming straight from the Word of God, and the applications that I make, the illustrations I use to try to get the point of truth through your heart, then you probably ought to find another church, but I don't believe you're going to find one that teaches and preaches things straight from what we do.
Right. Amen.
I'm going to dig if you find this area, I know every one of them. I'd have to drive 150 miles if I ever left this church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I find one there or not, 150. Pray, no problem there. No, I'd probably find one with 150. I'm not saying they're not preachers. I'm just saying that that's what I... To find one that would suit me, I'd have to go there for.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? I said doubt will deteriorate your spirituality. Listen to this. Spiritual drought will dry up your tears. It will. It will dry up your tears. I remember reading a message to old Dr. John R. Rice years ago. And he said that one time, he said he cried and cried and cried. He said he cried to drop the hat. He dropped the hat. And he preached and he just cried so much while he was preaching. His eyes just watered. And he said, now I pray and ask God to take them tears away so I could preach without crying all the time. It was kind of embarrassing. And he said, God did. He said, God dried my tears up. And I preached for one solid year. He was an evangelist and said, I never saw one soul saved. You ever read that and say, man, never saw one soul saved. He said, I began to ask the Lord again to bring back the tears. And he said, eventually God brought the tears back and I started seeing people saved again.
Right.
Tears make a difference.
Amen.
Some have compassion making a difference. That's right. What tears are. Compassion will bring more tears.
Amen.
Amen. Old John Jasper, the old black preacher, he just looked upon his congregation and visitors and just start crying. I just bawled crying. And see, sometimes old John would just hang his little black arms over his podium like that, big old long arms, and just cry and shake, and says that people just start piling down the aisles and droves and say, you're right with God. We need more tears, really. We need more brokenness. Amen. What Jesus took my heart, all pieces, and put a little sunshine. That's what we need. Need our old hearts broken, don't we? Every one of us do.
Amen.
See, when I preach this, I don't see tears coming out. Every one of us sort of have tears. Mm-hmm. Of course, our friends don't see tears. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, but a spiritual drought will dry your tears. It will. We're drought. Friends on drought. It will. It'll dry your tears. But, buddy, I'm telling you what, we ain't had any rain hardly at all in the last 3 or 4 months, probably. Doesn't amount to anything.
Right.
It's going to dry around our place. My pond's usually around 11 feet deep, and now it's 6 feet, or maybe a little under even 6 feet deep right now. It is. We need some rain. We do.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to be eating a lot of fish here before long. We don't get some rain.
Yeah.
You know, you get that water down too low, and then it's going to be freezing. It freezes your water, your pond, and it'll kill all your fish.
Yes,
it can do it. It really can.
Amen.
So, there's a drought around here. But, oh, what a drought of tears there is right now in the church.
Right.
There is. People won't have any compassion at all. Had no compassion on souls. Some of you never come out of visitation. Some of you never come out and pray with the men and the women back on Tuesday night for lost souls. I ain't going to ask you to show of hands. I'm not going to ask you to do that. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just preaching the truth to you. You know what that is? That's a lack of compassion. You never come out for visitation. And you never come out and pray for lost souls.
Amen.
Amen. And Y'all do that. Amen. Spiritual drought will drive your tears. Secondly, it will revive the old fleshly fears. Spiritual drought will revive your old fleshly fears. Fears that you have conquered because you didn't let doubt stand in your way. You just believed God and went on and done what God wanted you to do, told you to do. And fear has to take a back seat. God doesn't give a spirit of fear.
Right.
Perfect love casts about fear, the Bible says. That's right. Perfect love casts about fear. If you're scared to death of every Tom, Dick, and Harry around everything, there's something wrong with you.
Amen.
That Christian tells me you're scared to sleep in a room for themselves, in a house for themselves. I said, why? You can do a little more prayer.
Amen.
You get a little more faith in this book. You don't have that kind of fear. God cast that out.
Amen.
He'll cast it out. God said he would, and he will.
Right. Amen.
The moment you begin to doubt God's word, brother Anthony, your old spiritual fear, your old fears that you've already conquered will come creeping back to you.
Right.
It will. Mm-hmm. I've seen people in the church get out of church and go right back to their stinking old smoking. They quit smoking, supposed to get saved. I'm not saying he didn't get saved, but isn't it all of it? When they get out of church, they go right back and sucking on their cigarettes.
Yeah.
Just keep the old things that they did before just come creeping right back to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's doubt.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
They begin to doubt. They begin to have doubt. And you let doubt conquer them. And the fears come creeping back. And spiritual drought will do that. It'll revive the old fleshly fears. Then I got another one here. It produces a bad impression before your spiritual peers. Before the brethren, your spiritual peers. A bad impression. About what happened? What happened to old Joe? I believe there's Joe in here, because I can use that name. I wonder what happened to Joe. Got four dents. What happened to old Joe? I thought he really, really liked the church. I thought he really loved to preach the word and say, I'm serious. He remember when he used to come on visitation all the time? What happened to old Joe? Why, he was as good a preacher as we had in church. What happened to old Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Oh, doubt. That's what happened to old Joe.
Right.
He began to doubt.
Right.
Yeah. Amen?
Yes, sir.
And spiritual drought. Set up in him. Amen?
Amen?
That's right. I'll guarantee you. And through all that, he produced a bad, he gave a bad impression for all his peers.
Right.
All the brethren of that church that knew old Joe. Mm-hmm. Now they're thinking lightly of him.
Right.
Hey, old Joe, boy, he's really out. I don't bounce. Talk to him a lady. You want to talk with him? I've done that. You know, I saw old Joe at the store the day. He went down the other aisle and get away from him. Y'all have read that, haven't you?
I have.
I've had my open door for him. You know, I'm about to see old Joe. Old Joe opened that, and I think old Joe saw me coming, and he turned the light out on me. What about that?
Yeah.
Turned the light out on me, buddy, and I saw old Joe sitting in there. I knew he was in there, and I saw the television set on. And before I could get out of my vehicle, old Joe turned the light out and the television set on. You've had that happen?
Mm-hmm.
What a bad impression he gave me. Supposedly a good Christian at one time and a preacher too.
Mm-hmm.
What about that? So it produces a bad impression for your spiritual peers. I've got one more and I'll shut up. That spiritual drought will stifle our Christian ears. It will. We won't be able to hear. We let doubt creep in. We'll be able to hear the things that God wants us to hear. We won't. It'll stop your hearing. It will. It'll stop your ears up. Well, you ever had your ears stopped up?
Yeah.
Here, God, I got mine stopped up one time. So bad. And when I finally got it down, it had a plug of wax in my ear. It looked like a piece. It looked like a point off of a plug in the back. My wife did. She just wanted to got the thing out for me. And what I did, and I did the wrong thing. I thank God for that. I do. I'm telling you, it's a chastising of the Lord. They had a fool of the Hoosier Hills for the youth, and the girls would swim. Y'all have been there, you know, and the boys would swim. They'd come out, and the girls would go and swim, and they'd come out. Well, during camp, the men would go up there, they would retire to camp and swim, and they'd come out, and the women would go up and swim, and they'd come out. You know, they had no mixed swimming. No mixed nudity. That's what the sin is anyway. But I would have a sneaker pool.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have a pool on this property.
No, sir.
Amen.
I had somebody ask me one day, so when are you going to put a pool? I said, never. Never.
Right.
What do you got for me?
Amen.
I got Bible preaching.
Amen.
What do you have in the evening? Bible preaching. Well, everyone Bible preaching. Well, that's your Bible. Bible. This is a Bible camp.
Mm-hmm.
But I got my. I had a preacher friend come by too and said, Brother, I didn't have the sport to take us one. I said, I don't have anything to go on the I said, you don't go, that's forbidden. So I said, I don't want to go. Well, I thought, come on one time. So I let him talk me into it. So I went up. As far as a little pair of stinky looking. I hit it in front of a wind that thing. I was like, oh, God, it is. Got up on the edge of the pool and no wind. When I go in, I felt pressure hit my ear. And when I come out, now when I was a kid, I swam all the time. I've been swimming since about 9 years old. And you hit your head. You ever do that? You get the water out of it, and it wouldn't come out. I pull my ear or something, you do that. It wouldn't come out. I went over to the dog fishing, but I said, John, you got anything for a ear? I said, my ear stopped on that pool. I said, so Judy put some alcohol in there. Alcohol a long time before. You don't want to take that water out of it. Well, evaporate. I didn't have it. Just filled up with alcohol with beer. And so, man, I got the window. That evening, sat through the service, I couldn't hear anything. No singing, no preaching. I could see. I couldn't hear anything. That night, I went to bed. I was in misery. I woke up the next morning. Went to service. I said, oh, dear God, I can't stand this. I couldn't hear no preaching. I couldn't hear no singing. Just a little noise. And so my brother Doyle took me to the pharmacy and got me one of those murine ear kits. And I came back, and she even worked on me with that thing. And eventually, here come a plug in the background here. Looked like corn off wood. It's like a day's work. And I just started hearing some wonderful things. I said, praise God. God, I know what that's all about. You didn't want me in that stinking pool to begin with.
Yeah. Amen.
I promise you one thing. I'll never go back in again. That's one time I've ever been in that pool. Never go back in again.
Amen.
I'll be chastised with the Lord. I do. I guarantee you, when you begin to doubt the Lord, it'll stifle your Christian hearing, your Christian ears. You won't hear what the Lord has to say. I'm telling you right now, if you can get your ears cleaned out.
Right.
You need this right here. This ear cleaner right here, brother.
Yes, sir, brother.
Oh, this will offer it out.
Sure it will.
It'll bring them out.
Amen.
Word of God.
Oh, yeah.
To you.
Amen.
You're not hearing.
Sure will.
God wants you to hear.
Right.
If you'll let the Word of God in your ear.
Amen.
Bring your ears out. Amen.
Right.
So I guarantee you, yeah, will bring spiritual draft in your life or mine. I mean, in a heartbeat, it'll bring it. And right now, probably some of it, there's some of your hard times now. Damn. It's never going to mount a hill of beans for God to get that doubt out of you. Father, thank you this morning for your precious.